is a not maybe a well-known passage, but if you go to Ezekiel 33, that's a pretty well-known passage about the watchman. And this phrase that I want to preach about tonight is where they said the way of the Lord is not equal. Now, every time I read through this passage or listen to this passage, every time, do you ever have those passages where you just want to yell out and say, the way of the Lord is equal? You know, the different places where Rabshakeh, you know, when he was talking to the men on the wall, and he says, who is the Lord that he can deliver you out of my hand? You know, and he was talking about Sennacherib or whatever. And I just want to yell at him and be like, he is the Lord that created you. He is the God of heaven. He is the God of the universe. And he could just smite you in a second. And of course he did with Rabshakeh and Sennacherib. But this is a case where every time this comes through, I just think of the world. I think of how everybody is just talks about how God is not equal. And truly, God is equal. God is a God of equity. And I want to show you that. And I want to show you some examples also of how the world is telling you that the Lord is not equal, that God is unfair and unrighteous. And we know, of course, that the opposite is true. God is righteous and just, and we are the ones that are unrighteous, and we are the ones that are unequal. And I just want to show that tonight. But go to Psalm 98, and verses 8 and 9 there. Psalm 98, verse 8 and 9. Now, I know I don't really need to prove this because there's so many passages in the Bible about how God is equal, but I want you to see this. It says in verse 8, it says, let the floods clap their hands, let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth with righteousness, shall he judge the world and the people with equity. In Proverbs 11:1, you don't have to turn there, it says, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. The Lord is all about justice, and he is not about any equal weight, unequal weights, unjust weights, and we think of a balance, it has to be balanced, right? And I think of the world, they don't know what the word equal even means. Now, of course, the world doesn't know what a lot of things mean, and they think that their wisdom is so far above the Bible and so far above God's people and what they believe in the Bible. But as a structural engineer, I know that Holly's laughing because I'm going to use this example. She was calling me a nerd and everything else. But in structural engineering, you have to have equilibrium. In physics and statics, when I design a building, all the forces that are put on to a member or something like that has to have a reaction. The whole purpose of designing a building is that I have something that can hold up a building and hold that reaction that I'm looking for. So every action has a reaction. And the world today, they want to do a lot of actions, but they don't want any reaction to it. They want to say that God is not equal when something bad happens to them, or when God pours out his wrath upon certain people for what they do. They want to say that he's not equal and he's not just. But for every action that you do, you will have a reaction to it. Amen. It's whether it's good or bad, God is going to be equal. And the world, you know, they want equality. They want to, they're screaming for it out in the world. They're like, we want equality in all these different areas. You better be careful what you wish for, because if you get the equality, it's not going to be what you think. Because most of these people are wanting equality for wickedness that they do. You sow the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. And I want to get into that. You reap what you sow. Equality is reaping what you sow. The world wants to call this karma. The Bible calls it reaping what you sow. And this is a very biblical doctrine. The Bible says in Galatians 6, it says, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But you also have the flip side where it says, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. So there's equality on both sides. You want to be on the right side. You want to be on the Spirit side. You want to be where you're reaping a reward, not a punishment. But you will reap what you sow no matter what you do. But the world, they are on this side. They're on the side of reaping corruption. They want to sow corruption, but then they want to have a reward for it. No, God is a God of equality, And the Bible says also, before I get into my points, this is kind of just an introduction, that the more you sow, the more you'll reap. In 2 Corinthians 9:6, I want you to see this. 2 Corinthians 9:6. 2 Corinthians 9:6. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 6. When you guys are there, say amen.
Amen.
The Bible reads, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." Now, this works both ways. We went out soul winning today, and we went out soul winning yesterday, and I know a lot of you guys have gone soul winning different times and everything else. The more you sow, the more you're going to reap. If you go out once a week, you can't expect to reap more than what you've sown that week. If you go out twice a week, everything else, if you go once a month and you don't reap anything, you know, you don't reap that much, you can't expect to reap a lot when you don't sow a lot, okay? So, but this also goes in the other effect that if you reap a bunch of wickedness, or you sow a bunch of wickedness, you're going to reap a bunch of punishment, okay? Now, this works for the world, but this also works for Christians, okay? Because if this passage here in Ezekiel, I know that it's one of those passages where it can be twisted and everything else to this doctrine of repenting of your sins, okay? I believe if you look in the Old Testament, Israel is supposed to picture the saved, okay? Now, don't get me wrong. I know that Israel is not all saved, right? Back in the Old Testament, there was always just a remnant that believed. But they were supposed to picture the spiritual Israel that's in the New Testament, right? In the New Testament, we have all Israel is saved. All of us, whether Jew, Gentile, barbarian, whatever, we're all of Israel, right? But the Old Testament is a picture of that, right? So if you look at Ezekiel as a picture of believers, okay? Now, I'm not saying, you know, of course, that they're all believers when he was writing to them, but that passage is written to believers, okay? When he's talking about turning from your sins and doing that which is right and reaping something nice and then doing that which is wrong and you're going to reap a punishment, he's talking about believers, okay? He says that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And people have said this, and this is kind of a side note. They've said, well, you know, that's talking about hell. Well, the Bible says in James, it says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert them, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. So soul in the Bible, just to give you a little inkling on that, it doesn't always talk about an eternal, you know, state of being with the soul. It talks about souls being cut off. It could just be you dying. If there is a sin unto death, I do not say that he shall pray for it. So in that passage, I think mostly he's talking to believers. He's talking to people that claim to believe in God, claim to be saved, and that they are just in wickedness, and they're basically saying he's unequal. So you can have this in church as well, where you have a bunch of believers that are looking at the Bible and saying, you know what, you know, I like that salvation part, but this other part, that's too much. That doesn't seem fair. Why would God say that to me? And you know what they're saying? The ways of the Lord are not equal. But I want to get into a couple points here. Where the world, and this is where this kind of comes up when I'm reading this passage, and I just want to tell the world, your ways are unequal and God's ways are equal. Have you ever seen this big equal sign? It's red. It's everywhere. When you're on Facebook, everybody puts it as their Facebook profile status. Has anybody ever seen that big giant equal sign? Yeah. So what it's supposed to represent is equality for homosexuals and marriage. Okay? And every time I see that equal sign, I just want to put a big X through it because it's garbage. Okay? The sodomites want equality, but if they really want equality, God's going to give it to them. He's going to give it to them in this life, and he's going to give it to them in the next. If you go to Romans 1:27, it says, "And likewise also, the men leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet." And I know you probably have heard, you know, I believe it too, that AIDS is a judgment of God. But it's not just AIDS. It's all uncleanness. You see these reprobates, and you see, you know, just you could look at them and just see the sickness in them. You could see the uncleanness. You could see the just reaping what they're sowing. Even if it's not a reprobate, even if it's somebody that's in some kind of fornication or anything like that, you can see that wickedness, and you can see what they're reaping through that. You can see it in their life. And they want this equality, but they're going to get it. It's just not the equality that they're looking for. They want this equality where they can just sow all this wickedness and then just reap nothing. They just want to go out and do whatever they want to do and have nothing said about it. But God is a God of justice, and He will give them equality. But it's not the way that they're looking at it. Let's see what God says about what He thinks should happen to the homosexuals and what we should think about them. Okay? And this isn't my only point, but I just want to, this is kind of the where this sermon just kind of came into my mind with this equality and what's really running rampant today. We have this stuff just shoved in our faces, just everywhere we go. Even if you don't watch a TV, you could just be out wherever you're at and just everybody wants you to just submit to the homosexual agenda, to just everything they're trying to push on you and just want you to accept it. Everywhere I go, they just want you to accept it. So let's see what God says about it. In Leviticus 20:13 is not an uncommon passage, I'm sure, here. But it says, if a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. And in Romans 1:32 it says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So God's judgment hasn't changed in the New Testament. It always should be that if there are these people out there that are haters of God, that you can see openly are these reprobates and everything else, that they should be put to death. Right. And the sad part today is that we have people in churches, we have believers that are looking at God's word and saying, this is not equal. This is inhumane. There's independent fundamental Baptist preachers that are saying that it's inhumane to put someone to death. You are saying, do you realize what they are saying? They are saying that God's word is corrupt. They are saying God's word is unequal. They're saying it's unjust and that we need to just conform to the world. The Bible is eternal. The Bible is yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ the same. It's always been the same, and these punishments, God doesn't lighten up. If you read Revelation, God does not lighten up once you get to Revelation. It's just going to get worse for them when Jesus Christ does come back. He's going to come and rule with a rod of iron. He's going to rule with a two-edged sword, and when He rules and reigns for 1,000 years, there will not be Sodomites in the land. Now, there's a king in 1 Kings chapter 15. 1 Kings chapter 15. And I want you to turn there, 1 Kings chapter 15, and I want you to see this. Pastor Jimenez kind of just brought up a point, you know, about the Sodomites and just them being in church and stuff like that. But I want you to have this reinforced of why would someone be so harsh to say, hey, I don't want these people in church, okay? 1 Kings chapter 15, and verse 11 and 12. 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 11 and 12. And Asa did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. Notice what it says there. He did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. As did David his father, and he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made. So do you see that? He took them out of the land. Now, if our nation was a righteous nation, if our nation was a right nation, was right with God, we would take all the Sodomites and get them out of our land. If you don't want to kill them, send them to Canada. I don't care where you take them, but I don't want them here. And the Bible also says in 2 Kings chapter 23, and this is Josiah. So if you know Josiah, basically it says who Asa doesn't get take care of, he's going to get rid of the rest of them. But notice here what it says in 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 7. It says, and he, Josiah, break down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove. Now, let me ask you a question. If they broke down the houses that were near the house of God, of the Sodomites, do you think that they would want them in the house of God? I'm pretty sure that that would be a little more extreme to have them inside the house of God. They broke down their houses. That'd be like if a house was over here and you just ripped it down. And just, I don't even want that house there anymore. The Sodomites aren't even there anymore. If you know that Josiah took out the rest of the Sodomites, they're all gone. But he said, there was a Sodomite in that house. I'm just ripping it down. It's near the house of God. They're just wickedness, you know, and just a reminder of wickedness. And maybe that's what we need to do with any wickedness that's in our life. Instead of just letting it linger and sit by the house of God, as Pastor Jimenez preached this morning, we need to burn some bridges. We need to get that sin out of our lives and just tear it down. But so we have the Sodomites that are, you know, proud, of course, and just doting about their equality and everything else. They're going to get their equality. When Christ comes, or, you know, when they die, they're going to get the equality, but they're already getting it right now. We should, if we are a righteous nation, be putting them to death. But, you know, God's going to take care of it in his own way. Second point is equality, and this is more on the women's side, but I know that men need to be hearing this too, but of abortion, okay? Women are basically, you know, rallying that we want equal rights, that we can do with what we want with our body. Well, you can do whatever you want with your body, but that child that's inside of you is not you. That is a living soul. That is its own child. The Bible says that life begins at conception. As soon as the seed is implanted, that is a human being, and you have no right to kill that child. There are 3,000 babies that are murdered, and I'm not going to call it an abortion. I mean, it's one of my points, but it is murder.
Amen.
And around 3,000 or so, give or take, every single day in America. We're the leading nation for abortions. There's 3,000 every single day. Think of 9/11. Think of how we remember that all the time about 9/11. How many people died in 9/11? Around 3,000, right? And I remember when I was in high school when this happened, they read off the names of everybody that died. And we put it on the news screen or whatever of all the names. And, you know, it just kind of resonates a little bit when you think 3,000, you don't really think about it too much. But when you hear a name, you have a picture to that name, and you see it, and you're just like, good night. That's a lot. Think about that every single day. What if you had a name, and you just had to see that every single day of every single baby that was murdered? And just think about the blood that is on our hands in this nation. And this, and I'll get to the point of why this is important to realize this and everything else, but in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, you don't have to turn there. As I'm reading this, go to Psalms 106 and verse 37. But in Genesis 9, 6, if they want equality, they'll get it. If they want equality in America, here, I got a verse for our leaders to give them equality. It says, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man." Amen. If they want equality, then as soon as they kill their child, they get put to death.
Amen.
You know, maybe some people wouldn't be very apt to kill their children. Now, for anybody that's out there that maybe, I realize that there's so many abortions that go on that there may be someone in this room that has done this. All I have to say is, you know, it is a sin. It is murder. You have to just confess that sin and get over it. I'm not mad at you, you know, or anything like that. But it is a sin, and it's definitely polluting our nation. But we need to just put it under the blood and move on and realize that. And just as the passage says in Ezekiel, you know, just for, you know, you got to leave that sin and follow him. And it says, you remember, it said that they're not to make any mention of it again. And that's the way we should be. You know, if there's a member in the church that does a sin like that, and that's a pretty harsh sin, there's a lot of other sins that we can commit. If they've forsaken that sin, they've asked for forgiveness, they've gotten right with God, we are not to bring that up again.
Amen.
So, but after that, go to Psalm 106 and verse 37. 106 and verse 37. I just want to get there myself just to make sure that I kind of hand wrote this sermon. I had this sermon written out, but then I had it like in a different order than I wanted to preach it. And I didn't have a printer or anything when I was out here. So I'm just hand writing this thing out. So a lot of it's as Holly knows, I don't write that well. That's why they make computers for me. So, but I just want to make sure that I'm reading this right, because it looks like I might have scribbled that a little bit. In verse 37, and it says, "Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood." So we see here, you know, this is, there's no new thing underneath the sun. This isn't something new that people are aborting children or killing babies or anything like that. They did it back then, and they're still doing it today. Right. Now, they may not be offering it up unto, like, brazen idols and, like, putting it onto Molech, or have some big owl that they're putting it on or something like that, but they have an idol. It's called greed. Right. Most of the time when people want to have an abortion, it's because of greed. It's because they don't want to ruin their lives. They don't want to financially take care of this child, so they just kill their child. Now, some people are out of ignorance. Some people do know what they're doing. The ignorance, of course, I'm sure is less form of punishment, as the Bible teaches. But we see here that the land was polluted with blood. Our nation today is polluted with the blood of innocent children. Right. And we need to realize that when, because here's the thing, I was talking to Holly, and I used to be very political, more so than I am now. I still, of course, have my thoughts on politics. But getting another president in the office is not the answer. You know, I don't care how many people you get into the office that have your beliefs and everything else. You know what the answer is? Going out and knocking every single door here in Sacramento and spreading the light of the gospel. Amen. Getting them into the Word of God. We have to change the minds of everybody in this nation. We have to get them into the mind of Christ. One person is not going to change this nation when every single other person is saying, no, we want to do all this other stuff. We have to change the minds of everybody in this country, and you got to get them saved first. Amen. To do that. So there is hope, and the hope is in the church. The hope is in the house of God. This is the pillar and ground of the truth, and this is where the people are going to be enlightened. But also in Proverbs, of course, you know, these six things that the Lord hates, and we know the lying tongue and hands that shed innocent blood. The one point I wanted to get to, and this is kind of the big point that the world, And anybody that's gone out soul winning will know what I'm talking about when it talks about salvation and how the world is saying that this is unequal and that it's not equal. Everybody, of course, says that all religions are, you know, everybody wants to say all religions are equal. We worship the same God. God wouldn't send anybody to hell if they're just a good person and everything else. So little old grandma that, you know, just doesn't believe in Jesus, she's saved, she'll go to heaven and everything else. Well, the Bible, of course, teaches the opposite of that. The Bible teaches that Jesus is the only way. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Amen. Now, I want to clarify why Jesus is the only way, because Jesus is the only way that's equal. That's good. So, and I want to explain to you why that is. Jesus took our punishment. There is no other religion, there's no other God, there's no other prophet that bore my sins. Amen. The Bible says in First John chapter 2, it says, he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. It says in First Peter, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we might live unto righteousness. And it says he was made to be sin for us who knew no sin. The Bible says that he took our sin. The Bible says he took our punishment. He was our payment. He was the redeemer. He was everything that we needed to do to be saved. And no one else did that. Amen. No one else took our payment. And the Bible says in Isaiah 53, and I don't have it written on my notes, but it says that God saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied. Jesus, of course, when he died on the cross, the Bible says his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. He took that punishment. We were all supposed to be in the second death. If we got what we deserved, we should be in the second death. Right, right. But, of course, Jesus, in his love, came and died on the cross and shed his own blood. And when you go out to unbelievers, they all want to say to you that it's not fair, it's not equal, and everything else. And they say that there's cheap grace. You know, like this, your salvation, you don't have to do anything for it. it's cheap, it's unfair, and everything else. No, it's the only way that's fair. It's the only way that's equal. And I want to show you something, too, that the fact is that both people that go to heaven and people that go to hell, both are equal. Now, how can that be? Because these that are taking Jesus Christ payment, God is looking at what he did for the punishment. Over here, you have to do it yourself. Because everybody wants to say, well, if you're good and you do good works, then you'll go to heaven. If you're a good person, right? We all know, of course, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Jesus, of course, said there's none that doeth good but one, that is God. So all these people want to say is that, you know, you can be good and everything else, and they want to be judged by their works. Do you know that if they want to be judged by their works, God's going to judge them by their works? It will be an equal judgment. At the great white throne judgment, if you turn to Revelation chapter 20, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, this is a very familiar passage for soul winners, of course, in 2014 and everything else. But I want you to see this. Revelation 20 and verse 12. And it says, "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works." These people that believe that salvation is cheap and that Jesus isn't the way, they will have equality. They will have an equal judgment. But their judgment is going to be so far swayed of what they thought it was going to be because of how wicked they are and how wicked we would be. We would have that same judgment if we didn't have Christ. Amen. But Christ, it says he tasted death for every man. Amen. By the grace of God, so that we would not have to taste the second death. And if we pass up this so great salvation, woe unto us. And the Bible says that, you know, these people will be judged according to their works, just like Satan's going to be judged according to his works. It'll be a just balance. It'll be a just weight. And God is equal. These people in the world are not equal. The world is just trying to shove this in your face that what's equal, what's equal, what's equal. You need to look to the Bible to what's equal and just say nuts to the world. The world, 99.9% of the time, is wrong. And the Bible is what's right. And we live in a dark day today. And let me tell you something. The darker it gets, the easier it is to see the light. When we go out soul winning and we preach this truth, it's easier to see because of all the false stuff that's out there. And of course, the light of the gospel is so pure and so simple and so easy to understand that it just shoots through people and it just makes sense. Of course, I know that the Word of God is working there when you're given the gospel and everything else. But this needs to apply in every bit of our lives. As far as where you're at, what you do, that our light would so shine before men. The Bible says in Philippians, and I'll end with this, this is the call to action here. The world is unequal, and we need to proclaim the Word of God. We live in a day and age where there's a famine on the Word of God. Amen. Now, it is not hard to find this Bible. You can go to the Dollar Tree and get this Bible for a dollar, and there's no copyright on it. You can go to anything online. You can get any app. Every app on my phone or any app that you can get, usually the King James is free. Amen. It is not hard to read your Bible. Right. The hard part is sitting down and deciding you're going to do it. But the problem is no one reads their Bible today. Christians don't read their Bible today. There's a lot of people that have just never read from cover to cover the Bible. And people that may have been church for a long, long, long time that have never read through their Bible. And shame on us if we were to, we have it right here. They did not have it back in the day, you know, when the prophets were preaching. It says, God who at sundry times in diverse manners spake in time past unto the prophets. It talks about basically how back then they had to go to the prophet to hear the Word of God. They had to go get a vision from the prophet. Not everybody just had a Bible sitting around and just saying, hey, I could just read every word out of it. But we live in a day and age where there's a famine on the Word of God, but it's not because it's not accessible. It's because we just don't want to read it. And the world has no idea what the Bible says. So if you want to shed the light on this unequal world, then you're going to have to read this book. The Bible says to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Now, Jesus is the Word, right? So sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. In order to do that, you have to have the Word of God inside you. In order to do that, you have to read your Bible. In order to do that, you got to memorize the Word of God. In order to do that, you have to come to church and hear preaching. The Bible says that He manifested His Word through preaching. So, you know, you guys are here tonight. Of course, I'm preaching to the choir. You guys are here in church hearing preaching. But we live in a dark and crooked world. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 14, it says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." Amen. Now, I'm going to catch this next one. It says, "Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." If you hold forth this word of life, which is Jesus Christ, you will not labor in vain. You will not run in vain. And you can be a hope to this dark world, these people that are groping in darkness and that are just in inequality, that need to hear the Word of God. If you get anything out of this message tonight, know that soul winning, winning people to Christ, loving people in the church, and being here in church, doing what you need to do for God, we need you. We need everybody that we can get on God's side because this world is getting dark. This is a crooked nation. This is an unequal nation, and the only way that they're going to hear it, they're not going to read it themselves. They're not going to come to you and try to and say, "What must I do to be saved?" I mean, we've had some of those out door knocking, but that's very rare. Most of the time, when you go door knocking, do you not have to ask the questions, pull it out of them? You know, they're not going to just come up to you. So you got to go. The Bible says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every." Yeah, every creature. So it is our job to do that, to shine the light in this crooked and perverse nation. Let's end with a word of prayer.